Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the hands with the marks of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. Our children are now excused for children's church. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It's so gloomy outside, but it can be so bright in here, full of resurrection life. Let us be full of resurrection life. You know, from your own life experience, that when you hear this phrase, terms and conditions may apply. You know from your own life experiences that when you hear those words, you need to be on guard, don't you? You need to be on guard. Things are never, ever, ever as they seem when terms and conditions apply. Those fine print terms and conditions always have a way to, or always seem to have a way of making the very good things seem not so good anymore, right? Makes that sweet deal not so sweet anymore. That's why we always tell our kids, read the fine print. Read the fine print. We know this when it comes to things like buying insurance or leasing cars or getting credit cards or purchasing memberships to gyms or to Sam's Club or even to the country club. But what about things like marriage? What about things like marriage? What if rather than vow to love your spouse to be in good times and in bad times, richer for poorer, in sickness and in health, your spouse to be instead states, I will love you so long as terms and conditions apply. Well, my suggestion to you then is to run away! Run away! Caveats and conditions are not suitable substitutes for marriage vows. They're not. What about when it comes to matters of faith? What about when it comes to matters of faith? I know Thomas immediately comes into the crosshairs with these questions, and rightly so. I mean, after all, today is National Pick on Thomas Day. In every lectionary in the church, John 20, 19 through 31 is read today. It's National Pick on Thomas Day. After all, in his own words, Thomas would never believe until he saw proof that Jesus was indeed alive. He would first have to put his fingers into the wounds of the living Christ, like the other disciples got to do. Before he would believe. His faith had terms and conditions. And if we boil it down to it, it's really no faith at all. He wasn't a doubting Thomas. He was an unbelieving Thomas. Faith trusts what is not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Thomas, on the other hand, would only trust provided he first had proof and reason to believe. But this is where Christians with the best intentions tend to go off track a little bit. Okay? Once again, today is often called National Pick on Thomas Day. And it's easy. It's very easy. I mean, most sermons are going to be, don't be like Thomas. Don't be like Thomas. But, just like we don't pick on the women at the tomb on that first Easter morning, kind of like we did last week, who forgot and doubted Christ's words regarding his resurrection, deep down inside, we don't like to pick on Thomas either for his unbelief or for his doubt. After all, the reason why we don't like picking on him is because we can relate with him all too often. We can relate with him. We understand. We get it, don't we? So instead of picking on him, we wind up making excuses for Thomas, even maybe defending him a little bit here. We have a tendency to kind of praise Thomas in his unbelief because he's just like us. I mean, how many times have we said, Thomas is a guy after my own heart? I don't knock Thomas for his unbelief. I mean, the other guys got to see the resurrected Jesus, and Thomas wasn't there when it happened. Thomas only wanted the same experience as the other guys. I get it. I do. And I don't disagree. But, and this is a very big but, So when is it okay now to covet and not believe so long as you have a good reason? I like your answer. Never. That's what he said. Unbelief is never okay with Jesus. Unbelief is never okay with Jesus. There is never a situation or a circumstance in which unbelief or a failure to trust God above all things else is ever permissible or is ever condoned. It's never. Your Lord never blesses unbelief, no matter the circumstance. He never does. What does Jesus say in response to Thomas? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. With these words, all excuses for situational unbelief, remember last week, all excuses for situational unbelief are shot down. With these words, our Lord Jesus makes clear, crystal clear, the type of faith that we should have, which is a Latin word that is quietenus. It's a quietenus type faith. And it means insofar as. We shouldn't have an insofar as, or as it would say, I believe insofar as, or I have these terms and conditions by which I put my trust and faith in Christ. It's never okay, ever. I mean, this stands in contrast to the type of faith that we're supposed to have, which is a quietat faith, another Latin word, that we have faith and we believe because the hammer and anvil and God's word is in charge. I believe because God says so. And so in a loving and in a firm way, Jesus calls Thomas and his unbelief out. And that's exactly what it is. It is unbelief. He is not doubting. He is unbelieving. He doesn't let it slide. And he certainly doesn't praise or approve it like sometimes we will in trying to justify Thomas, because he's just like us. The gospel immediately goes on to tell that Jesus had done many other miraculous things in the presence of the disciples that were not written down in this book. But these are recorded so that you may believe. And by believing, you may have life in his name. That's the whole point of today's lesson here. It's not just to pick on Thomas and to make excuses for Thomas's unbelief. If we just did that, we would be completely missing the point. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. I know that we want to pick on Thomas in his refusal to believe. I know we do. But that's precisely why this account is recorded. For us and for our faith, it is a great lesson in what not to do. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the past 12 months, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. Well, just to set the record straight, it is not unprecedented. It's not. There has always been famine. There has always been disease. There's always been poverty. There's always been fear. There's always been despair. Ever since the world first fell into sin, it's always been there. History is filled with precedent. All this may be new to us, but it's not new. It's not new. It's true, though, that we've never seen it before, which leads me to ask this question. Do you still believe? Do you still believe? I guess you could say I'm kind of framing Christ's words in a different light. But hear me out. Jesus made this statement because of Thomas's insofar as type faith. The faith that first needed proof. That faith with all kinds of terms and conditions that applied to it. Thomas needed to see before he would believe. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet still believe." We get it. We get it. However, coming at this from a different angle, we've never seen anything like what we've seen over the past several months. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, just we've never seen it. Do we still believe? Do we still believe? Now, I know every person that is sitting here listening to me speak this morning will adamantly scream out and say, "Yes, I believe." And there are some of you that just are very frustrated at me that I would even ask. That I would dare to even ask you such a question. Of course I believe. Okay, so let's ask it in a different way. Does your faith come with terms and conditions? Does your faith come with terms and conditions? Is it a quietinus type faith insofar as I believe what my God and Lord says, but, the big but germs, inclement weather, nice weather, too early in the morning, money's tight, it's bow season, the fish are biting, the fish are biting, the lawn needs mowing. I'll absolutely take up my cross and follow Jesus, provided it doesn't involve any sort of inconvenience or discomfort on my part. I'm willing to be martyred for Jesus and the faith, but terms and conditions apply. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? Keep in mind, this is the same Word of God who became flesh and died and rose again. God is faithful to His Word. God kept His Word in spite of us. No caveats, no conditions. Jesus doesn't say, "Tell you what I'm going to do, provided you do your part." He doesn't say that, does he? While we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. What has this same almighty Word of God, what has He already said? He said, "It is finished." No terms, no conditions. Matter of fact, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? Unconditional mercy. Unconditional grace. Unconditional lightning. We don't get what we deserve, which of course is death and damnation, and we get what we most certainly do not deserve, which is life and salvation. Beloved, this is the same word of God in resurrected flesh who bids Thomas to touch and see and believe. It's the same word of God in the flesh who comes to us today in the mere and unassuming means of word, water, wine, and bread. It's strange to think about. You might even be able to say it's even kind of contradictory a little bit. Jesus himself declares, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." And yet he still comes to us in a very real and tangible way, a way in which we can see and touch, taste, and feel. Like Thomas, he still bids us to come and to taste and see that he is our Lord and that he is still keeping his promise to always be with us. In the midst of all of this, the stuff that we've never seen before in our lifetime, our Lord comes to us in our weaknesses, our doubts, and our despairs, bidding us to come and to taste and to see that he is our very God and Lord and that he is good. Look no further than this altar. Look no further than the word being read and proclaimed to you this morning. As often as you do this, remember what I have said. As long as you do this, this is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. It is so because he said it is so. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against this Christocentric fact. So economic downturns and the possibility that you might get sick shouldn't stand a chance either. My friends, here is Christ. Here, present amongst us this morning. He's here, right where he promises to be, holding out to you his free and unmerited and unconditional gifts of divine mercy and grace and peace. May this almighty word of God breathe life and joy into you this morning. Here is he who died and rose again for you and for your salvations. There are no strings attached, no terms, no conditions, no caveats. May your eyes and ears of faith be always opened, no terms and conditions, to recognize and rejoice that the resurrected and victorious bridegroom is in your midst and he is always there, loving you lavishly. In good times and in the bad times, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health, whether you live or whether you die or anything else in between, it's always there. May you ever and always be blessed with that solid type faith that is able to see and hear and hold fast to your Lord and Savior right where He tells you to seek Him and to hold fast to Him. And may this good news of your Prince of Peace and ever-present Emmanuel, God with us, let it guard and keep our hearts and minds in Him now and to all eternity. He's here. He's here. Let Him provide you the peace that He extends. Amen. Amen. Amen.